I feel like I'm done, but I'm not finished. So let's go. Let's read the great commandment, the reason for which Jesus Christ has come, the reason for which he has redeemed you, the reason for which you have air in your lungs today, the purpose, the meaning of your life. So this is Matthew chapter 22. Someone was asking Jesus, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law, in the whole Bible? Which is the most important? What binds them all together? He replied, let's say it together. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Very good. And the second is like it, Jesus responds. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Friends, we've been on this journey, the series called Bless, B-L-E-S-S, because once Jesus Christ comes to you, and once you experience and receive his grace, and once you are being transformed by the power, the renewing power of the Holy Spirit, guess what? You get to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength, and because of the transformation, the power of the grace of Christ, you get to love your neighbor as yourself. So on this series, on this journey, in this series, we said, here's how we bless our neighbor. B-L-E-S-S. It's an acronym. So the first letter B stands for what? Begin with prayer. We are going to pray for our neighbors now. Specifically, we're talking about your neighbors, your colleagues, your friends, your classmates who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Your neighbor can be an actual neighbor next door, your colleague. I can be your neighbor. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, they are your neighbor, generally speaking. But specifically speaking, we're talking about praying for people who don't know Jesus, people who don't know how to pray. Second letter, what is it? L stands for? You listen to their stories. You listen to their joys. You listen to their concerns. So you get to know what they're like. The letter E stands for what? The best part is you get to eat with them. Coffee, donuts, Tim Hortons, breakfast. You eat three times a day, most of you. You don't have to make extra schedule. You just build into what you do already. You eat breakfast, well, have it together. Lunch, so forth. And today's letter S stands for serve. Say serve. I'll get to that later. And the next week, the last letter is to share. Once you do B-L-E-S, then you get to share with them the story, the grace of Jesus Christ. I've been told that you learn better, you retain the message better as you follow the sermon with the sermon outline. So on the screen, you will see the QR code. You have the QR code. So those of you joining via live stream, you can hit pause button right now and take your camera and point that QR code. So let's go. How is Jesus going to show us how to serve our neighbor? How do we love our neighbor as ourselves? By serving. Come with me to John chapter 13. Hear the word of the Lord. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The older NIV translation used to read, he showed them the extent of his love. He loved them to the end. How did he do it? Let's find out. Verse 2. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So get this. He knew that all things were given to him, that he came from God the Father, and he's going back to God the Father. And what does he do? Really strange. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. Now, this towel is not long enough for me to wrap around my waist, so you need to visualize that. Okay? So he's a visual aid. When you think about today's sermon, I want you to think about the towel around the waist or right here. A towel. What verse am I on? I'm sorry? Verse 5. After that, he poured water into a basin. Something like this, I suppose. Picture it, everyone. He gets up from the table, takes the towel, kneels down, pours water into a basin. You got that? You have it in your head, in your mind? Verse 5. Still in verse 5. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No, no, 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 no," said Peter. "You shall never, never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Unless I touch your dirty feet with my own hands and wash your filthy feet with my own hands and dry them off, unless I do them, you have no part with me. There is no relationship between you and me." I love Peter because that's how I would have responded. "Oh, yeah? Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Give me a bath." And Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only a wash, only those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do so as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." Would you read verse 17 with me? "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you please write these words in your sermon outline, the theme and goal? When Jesus serves you, you serve your neighbors. For serving is an act of love. When the King of all kings puts down his crown aside, and when the Lord of all lords kneels before you and washes you, your feet, when he serves you, guess what happens? You serve your neighbors as well. Why? Because serving is an act of love. Love yourselves, love your neighbors as yourself. Therefore, serving is an act of love. That's the whole thing. But it starts with grace. The king puts down his crown. He wraps a towel around himself. He serves you. When that happens, it is inevitable. You can't resist it. You are transformed and changed from the inside out, and you serve your neighbors. Why? Because serving is an act of love. I got 3 points. Number one, therefore, would you write these words? Serving your neighbors goes against your nature because we'd rather want to be served than to serve. How many of you agree with this statement? Serving others goes against our nature because, I'll be honest, you be honest too. We'd rather be served than to serve. Would you agree? For the most of us, if not all of us, and that's because of who we are on the inside. So here's a picture that I got from the all-knowing Google. A few years ago, my wife and I went on a study tour to Israel, Egypt, Jordan. And previously, the study course was called In the Footsteps of the Rabbi. So we actually, literally, tried to walk where Jesus walked. Okay? 2,000 years ago, the preferred shoe type is, as you know, sandals. And the feet were covered with dirt and dust and everything else you can imagine. Here's what would have happened. This is what should have happened. So 2,000 years ago, right, in Israel, when you walk into a house, before you sit down at the table, the host would send in a servant to wash your feet. Okay? Now, washing one's feet was considered the most lowly task. It was so lowly, not every servant was required to do it. If you had been there longer than other servants, guess who gets the dirty job? The younger ones, the newbies. Some rabbis taught that this is such a menial task that no Jewish servant should do it. Only the Gentile servants should be assigned to wash people's feet. It was that lowly. Okay? So here's the question. Jesus and his disciples, they were sitting down, right? At the table, right? But Jesus got up to wash their feet. How come? Nobody washed their feet. How come? Because no one wanted to do it. How come? Because it was such a menial task. And Jesus, he gets up. He does the task. He does the dirty job. We don't want to serve. We rather want to be served. How many of you love going to Costco? Well, how many of you used to like going to Costco in the past? Before the, okay. Yeah. I remember, I hate going to Costco because you buy two items, it's like $700 for milk and toilet papers, right? Yeah. Another reason I hate going to Costco is this is before the express lanes. Okay? I'm holding a bouquet of flowers for my lovely wife because it was a Monday night. In front of me were five people with their carts filled with 200 items each. I'm just paying for one bouquet of flowers, and I have to wait the whole time. I hate doing that. Okay? To my surprise, the cart right in front of me, middle-aged lady, she had her hands on the cart. She looks at me. She goes, oh, flowers, nice. And then she goes, Is that all you're paying for? I said, yes, ma'am. Well, why don't you go ahead of me? Friends, I got to tell you, I was so moved. I was so moved because I wasn't expecting it, right? I mean, I was hoping, it would have been nice, but I wasn't expecting anyone to do it because I knew people's nature, because I know myself. I'd rather be served. I'd rather be served. So, that's the first point. It goes against our nature. Okay? Point number two. Here's the good news. By Jesus' grace, He serves you. By His grace, by His gift, He stoops down and He washes your feet. But when He does that, listen to me. Listen. You must accept and receive His gift. You must accept His gift. When Peter said, oh no, Lord, You are my teacher, You are my rabbi, how can You wash my feet? It's unthinkable. If anything, I should wash Your feet, see? No one washed no one's feet because here's Peter, the oldest among the disciples. Hey, Andrew, you wash the feet. Why me? James is younger. James, you wash the feet. Why me? John's the youngest. Johnny, you wash. It was never spoken, but understood. It was in that context. Jesus gets up, takes off His clothes, and washes the feet. Here's a picture that I found. Would you look at the facial expressions of the disciples? When Jesus, here's a picture that I found. There we go. What do you see? You see Jesus being the servant. The same Greek word is slave. He took off His outer clothing, making Himself a servant, a slave. He's on His knees. He's washing the dirty feet of the disciples who don't deserve the grace. Okay? But look at the facial expressions. What do you see? What do you see? Incredulous. Is this really happening? See, that's why Peter said, you will never wash my feet. You shouldn't do that. It's unthinkable. And what was Jesus' response? Unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. Unless I serve you, we have no relationship. There is nothing binding us in our friendship unless I serve you. Now, the foot washing was only a foreshadowing of something far more important and significant. Here's the clue. When did this take place? At the Passover festival. Remember that? Passover represented, it was a time in which God taught the Israelites, hey, look, you are living in Egypt as slaves. I'm going to send an angel of death. And when the angel of death comes over your house, the firstborn of your household will be killed. But here is grace. Take a lamb, kill it, put the blood of the dead lamb, put the blood on the doorpost. Then the angel of death will pass over the house. Hence the word Passover. Was foreshadowing that Jesus is the ultimate lamb. It is His blood over your doorpost, as it were, that the angel of death will pass over. By the way, that included salvation of the children. The children, the firstborn, was also spared. Second clue. It starts with when the hour had come. In the book of John, Jesus is like performing miracles, healing people, doing all kinds of supernatural things. And then people wanted to like say, are you the Christ? And then John keeps writing, the hour has not come. So therefore, Jesus reveals, he conceals his identity as Christ. But all of a sudden, for the first time in the book of John, the hour had come. And Jesus reveals his true identity. So friends here, Jesus Christ must serve you, and you must accept his grace, his gift. Remember, when Jesus serves you, you serve your neighbors, for serving is an act of love. Let's go to number three. When you serve your neighbors, you become like Jesus because serving is the very nature of God. When you serve your neighbors, you become just like Jesus because serving is the very nature of God. Kobe, I threw a curveball at you. Pardon me. Would you put a slide for verse 12, please? Verse 12, okay? When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example. That's the key word, example, that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is his messenger greater than the one who sent him. Verse 17, let's read it together one more time. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. There was a revelation in my theological mind. I used to think Jesus, the very nature of God, he emptied himself, became one of us, took on the form of a servant. So he used to be divine, but now, for your sake and for mine, he took on another nature, the nature of servant. That is now changed, and I'll tell you why. Let me go to Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 5. Verse 5. Thank you, Kobe. Verse 5. Listen to these. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. You see that? Nature God, nature of a servant. I used to think those are two different things. Got it? Okay. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Okay. Now, here's the revelation. Change in my theological mind. The Greek word, nature God, nature of servant, it's the same word used for both phrases. What that means is, whatever the nature the Holy Spirit is trying to reveal about Jesus Christ, it's one and the same. Did you catch that? He's not talking about two different natures, as in divine and servant. It's one and the same nature. What that means is something like this. It is because Jesus, having the very nature of God, he became a servant. Not in spite, but because, since he is divine nature, he took on the nature of a servant. Does that make sense? Okay. So therefore, what is God like? God is like who stoops down, takes off his outer garment, puts his holy divine hands around your dirty feet, and he washes them. He's doing that not because it goes against his nature, God, but because he is God, and the nature of God is that of a servant. That's the revelation. And therefore, serving your neighbors is an act of love. And as you serve, you become like Jesus. You take on his divine nature. At Mosaic House Church, we have summarized the disciples' values. I'm a disciple of Christ, meaning I follow him. I want to be like him, not just know what he knows. I want to be like him. I want to be changed in my values, in my character. So are you becoming like Christ. Here are the six values. Okay? Scripture, to know Jesus. Prayer, to meet Jesus. Prayer is not getting things from God. Prayer is getting God. Generosity, to show Jesus. Community, to belong with Jesus. Sent out, to go with Jesus. Movement, to multiply Jesus. So when you serve, you're showing Jesus. You're living out the value of generosity. And that's why I need you to know, the Holy Spirit wants you to know, when you serve your neighbors in the name of Jesus, you are becoming like him, divine in nature. In the book, Bless, the author, Dave Ferguson, this is what he says. Jesus' message is simple. It's now our turn to serve the way Jesus served. It's your turn to set aside your crown for a towel. I love that imagery, right? Remove your crown, put on a towel. We live in a world that believes the higher you rise and the more power and wealth you accumulate, the more leverage you have to get others to serve you. But Jesus takes that idea and says, Here is what it really looks like to bless the world. You serve. You serve. So three applications. Number one, question. What do you need to put down to bless someone through serving them this week? What is your crown? Is it your time? Is it your pride? Is it your convenience? Or what do you need to put down so that you may put on a towel? The first response that came to your mind, that's it. Application number two. What would it look like for you to put a towel around you this week? What would it look like? Okay. Dave Ferguson recommends RPMS. It took me a second to say, oh, Victor, make sure you hit the pause in the right place. It's RPMS. Now, it stands for relational, physical, mental, and spiritual. You ask the following questions regarding how do I put on a towel so that I may serve my neighbor? How may I meet my neighbor's relational needs? How are they doing with their family? How are they doing with in their relationship? How are they doing with in their marriage? So forth. It's relational. Physical, how may I meet my neighbor's physical needs? Did someone have a baby recently? Is that elderly couple able to shovel the snow in this cold? You meet their physical needs. How may I meet my neighbor's mental needs? Are they showing anxiety? Are they sensing depression or loneliness? Is there something that I can help with in terms of their mental health? And last, how may I meet my neighbor's spiritual needs? Can I pray for you? What can I pray for you? Do you sense God in your life? Have you heard about? So those are the needs and the questions that you could ask to find out what their needs are. I would like you to watch a video. It's a video that Anton created for us. Anton and Irina, they are in a house church. House church is, see that? Doing life together. That's what house church is. They do life together. They gather once a week. They eat together. They share a meal together. They pray together. They open the Bible together. And they meet the needs of others. And they meet the needs of the neighbors, people who don't know Jesus. So let's watch this video first.
So our house church had a block party this summer. It was part of what we decided to do in terms of, you know, generosity, community. And we decided to host a block party. Friends, a lot of neighbors that came out that, based on what I heard anyway, they hadn't seen each other for a while, but they were able to come out, have a conversation, have some snacks, and we talked about everything. So it was great from my perspective.
To some of the people attending the block party, and they just say it's such a great opportunity, right, to create like a opportunity for them to meet their fellow neighbors, because it seems like everyone had this desire to kind of get to know their neighbor a little bit, but they never really had the media or the venue to do so. So they really appreciate, like, even just say hi and just say, oh, I live next door to you, and they really appreciate it. And they're just kind of like getting a little bit of sense of community.
Talking in our house church, but also in church, about serving others, about building community, about connecting with others, new people, connecting with new people.
Invite people, serve there, and basically connected with them.
The Holy Spirit is right there with me, helping me, encouraging me to do it, and also many hands make light work. So all of our house church was there, and you know, as we spend time together, we're developing relationships with each other, and we trust and like to hang out together. So doing a mission outreach like this, we have our team backing us up, so you don't feel alone and you don't feel overwhelmed at all.
We are not for ourselves, but we do it for God. Like according to a Great Commission, we do it out of love and want to be able to serve and lead people to Jesus. So that's my message. Not do it for our own.
It's a blessing for us to be able to make the time to serve others. Sometimes it's very hard because you're busy with work and family life. But when you do make the time, it takes a lot of effort for everybody. But it feels really great to know that you can do something for somebody, not just for you or your family, but others.
People want community, but they're scared to step out and do it. So if we can help break down those barriers and spread the love of God, it helps our relationship with Jesus in a practical way.
An experience that helped me realize what can we do to share Christ's love to people we don't know.
I use my talents to serve. We set up the table, we greet the neighbors, we help them feel comfortable.
Individually, all of our house church members kind of bring their own gifts and talents to the event.
Yeah.
And individually, we figure out what needs to be done, what we're good at. You know, some people are better at cooking or barbecuing. Some people are better at setting up sports fields and fixing things or whatever. So everyone brings their talent and it all works out. Mm-hmm. And it's all about having fun and sharing food and blessing our neighbors. Mm-hmm.
we discuss in our house churches. We pray for community and connection with others, but seeing it in action and being able to take part in it was huge for me.
You know, we talk about Mosaic House serving our city. We were serving our neighborhood, which is a component of serving our city.
Lastly, maybe for people who are hesitating and maybe you've heard about a block party and you're like, oh, that sounds like such a huge event to plan out and go for, I encourage you to go for it and you won't be alone. Mosaic House, like I mentioned, has so many tools in place, like the rental of the block party truck and all the supplies you need, like how to approach grocery stores for food donations, and just some of the things even I experienced for the first time. You're never alone in this process. You can get your house church involved. You can get your neighbors and friends and sister, brother, family involved. And it's, again, it's been said before, but it's not, you know, you don't have to talk about church to your neighbors. It's just community and connection and fun, right? So it's just such a lovely event to be in and host in your neighborhood, your schools, wherever, whichever community you're in. I think it's not as difficult as even I thought it would be. It's, you have all the help you need. You just have to ask for it, and people are lining up for sure, because it's a fun thing to be a part of, and you get to bless your neighbors and you get to carry out maybe what God has kind of been whispering in your ear a little bit, which is a good thing to put into action because you've heard it so many times.
Thank you, Anton and Irina, for creating the video and sharing it with all of us. Okay, remember, in conclusion, when Jesus serves you by his grace, you serve your neighbors because you're transformed. You become like Christ, for serving is an act of love. Would you pray with me? Friends, I first want to pray for, I feel compelled to pray for our seeker friends, friends who have not knelt before Jesus and received his kingship and his lordship in their lives. Let me pray for you. Remember, unless Jesus serves you, you have no part with him. He wants to serve you. He wants to die for you. He wants you to receive his work on the cross and on the resurrection. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that these friends of ours, right here, right now, may they be willing to say, I need Jesus to serve me. I need Jesus to wash my feet. And not only my feet, my soul and my spirit. I need you, Lord Jesus. Would you make that commitment? Would you make that surrendering behavior? Say, Lord Jesus, I need you and I receive your grace. That's it. And I will follow you. Would you say that prayer in your heart right now? And Father, I pray for the disciples of Jesus. Holy Spirit, encourage us, challenge us to serve a neighbor this week, someone who is far away from Christ. Help us to discover their relational, mental, physical, and spiritual needs. May we count the cost, as Helen said, count the cost, and meet their needs. In the name of Christ, we pray. And God's people said, Amen.